and us. We looked at many aspects of relationships in our lives and how we can give them all to God no matter whatever your relationship status is. If you're single, happily married, or it's complicated right now. Some of y'all like that one. Amen. Your relationship with God impacts all other relationships in your life. Last week, my wife and I were able to be vulnerable and open like never before. If you didn't see it, good thing we have it recorded. Hallelujah. I encourage you to watch it. We shared our marriage testimony and how God has changed, redeemed, and restored our lives together. Some of y'all put me on a pedestal, even though I'm up here. I hate being up here, by the way, but some of you guys can't see me when I'm down there. I hate to be up here, but I'd rather be right there with you, but I'm going to do what I got to do so you can see me. But sometimes you put people on pedestals and you forget that we're all serving the same God, that we all need saved, that we all need His grace and His mercy, right? God has called me to be a pastor. He has called me to lead a flock of sheep. This is true. But I still need my Savior. I am not the Savior. I'm an under-shepherd serving the good shepherd, trying to lead some sheep to the promised land. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. You won't get that till you die, so whatever, unless we get raptured, which would be awesome. Hallelujah. But we need more people serving God. I don't want to get raptured with just a couple. I want to get raptured with millions and millions and millions. I got to preach the gospel. I pray that last week inspired you to be vulnerable and open about the real things that are happening in your life. How you can walk through the fire with God and come out of it not even smelling like smoke. But you have to walk through the fire with Jesus first. Don't dismiss or sidestep the process. Wait till you're purified. Wait till you're clean and walk out of it, and you won't smell like smoke, and you'll be who God wants you to be. This morning, we're going to start a new series titled Creatures of Habit. We're all creatures of habit. Amen? Each of us have a set of routines or patterns which can be helpful, but they can also get us stuck in ruts, and they can be destructive as well. We must be careful, church, because what we believe determines what we do, and what we do determines what we become. This series explores how we can trade bad habits for good ones, good habits that glorify God and help us to be the people God intends us to be. Now, habits have a three-step process. Number one, you have the cue or the trigger, right? And then you have your response, and then you have your outcome. Three-step process in having a habit. You have a trigger, a response, then you have an outcome. In order to change a bad habit, you must replace it with a better response. Whether it's improving our diet, hey, right? Bombs away, remember that? That was a dumb cartoon. Fat Albert, remember that guy? Okay, anyway. Whether it's improving our habits and our diets or changing our mindsets or breaking destructive patterns, whatever it is, you need to stay consistent to see progress. You got to stick with it. You can't microwave it. It's a slow cook. Church, the problems within your life is oftentimes due to your unhealthy responses. Some of y'all aren't even with me yet. You're like, I'm still in worship. He's preaching. I'm still like, hey, what's going on? Y'all wiping off snot bubbles still. Catch up with me. I'm getting right into it. Snotting for the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to say again, church, the problems within your life is often due to your unhealthy responses. Much of the poison that is in your life is from your problematic habits. Your poison is oftentimes in your patterns. But God provides His promises. He can make you new. You can be a new creature of habit. Amen? It's really tough these days to discern what is true and what is false. I think for some things that's true, some things it's not. I mean, sometimes you see stuff on like the far left, that's what the news calls it. But you see people like way, way on the other side of what God wants to do. And you're like, man, I just know that is not truth, right? But sometimes there are things in life that it's hard to discern what is true and what is false. Many of us have developed a pattern of listening to our emotions. I like that we get emotional in worship. But if that's all it is, it will never stick. Right? I like that we get emotional. I've been to dead churches that don't get emotional. And they just stand there. And it's like they just repeat things that they don't even believe. I've been there. You got to get emotional. But it's got to go deeper than emotions. Or it won't stick. We've developed a pattern in our life that we listen to our emotions and we listen to worldly voices. Now, these emotions and these voices shape the way that we think about our life. They shape the way that we spend our time. They shape the things we value. They shape the way we view other people. And they shape, and they often shape, the bad habits that we get stuck in. Where the mind goes, the life will follow. The lies we think about are a poison to our soul, and we must stop taking them in. Some of us this morning are stuck in bad patterns, bad cycles, bad habits. We need to renew our minds by replacing the old voices, the old pains, the old cycles, the old information with new ones. There's a lot of opinions of what truth is. But let me tell you, feelings are fleeting. You feel one way and then you'll feel a different way. Then you feel one way and then you'll feel a different way. And new teachings of truth, they will come and go. The Bible says that if you follow the patterns and the thoughts of this world and the beliefs of this world, you'll be tossed in an ocean like to and fro like waves. You go over here to the right, and oh, maybe that's not truth. And you go over here to the left, and oh, I guess that's not truth. And then it'll toss you to the front, and then to the back, and you'll go deep, and then it'll go high, and you'll just be a mess. You'll be all over the place. But the Bible is a source of real truth. Church, it has withstood the test of time. It's been in a lot of different cultures, a lot of different generations. It's been with a lot of people, and it always comes forward as truth. It is a rock. It is a foundation. It is the way to live if you want to have a life that honors God. If you want to have a life that's good, you want to have a life that's holy, you got to get in God's Word. See, the way to combat a habit of believing lies is by embracing a habit of trusting truth. I'm glad you guys can watch this later, because I'm gonna throw some things at you today. I know some of y'all don't even have notes out right now. You're just like, literally, I saw like three faces like this. Where's my brother Cherokee? Cherokee, right? We just talked about this week. He came up, helped me preach, and he looked at everybody. He's like, whoa, that's what you see all the time? I was like, yes. Yes, I do. Right. Turn to your neighbor and slap him. Just joking. I'm just playing. I'm just playing. In the Lord. Okay. In Jesus' name. Just playing. The way to combat a habit of believing lies is by embracing a habit of trusting truth. As people of God, we believe that the Bible is the source of all truth. Right? If you say you're a Christian but you don't believe the Bible, let me tell you, you're probably not a Christian. And the ultimate authority in our lives is the Word of God, for it is the living Word of God. See, the psalmist writes about it in Psalm 19. This is what he says about it. He says in Psalm 19, 7 through 14, he says, "The instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living. Reverence for the Lord is pure, lasting forever. The laws of the Lord are true. Everyone is fair." Right, anybody? It's not fair, right? You're a whiner. Okay, number 10. "They are more desirable than gold, even the finest gold." I love what the psalmist does here. He points out something that's super awesome, and then he talks about the best of the most awesome, right? It says, "They desire that they're better than gold, even the finest gold. They're sweeter than honey, even dripping from the comb." Right? The best of the best. "They are a warning to your servant, a great reward to those who obey them. How can I know all the sins lurking in my heart? Cleanse me from these hidden faults." It hit me. Woo, I've read that over and over again. I feel God's conviction in the house today. 13, "Keep your servant from deliberate sins. You thought about him and you chose it. Don't let them control me. Then I'll be free of guilt and innocent of great sin. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." Amen. Bad habits can create a rebellious heart. Bad habits can translate into bad character. Bad habits can become bad coping mechanisms. And bad habits will eventually ruin your life if you let them. I want us to take a quick moment right here. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit right now to reveal to us some of the poisons that we have allowed into our minds and into our hearts and into our lives that we have allowed to create bad habits in our life. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal them right now. Holy Spirit, I just thank you for this time. I thank you that you're moving and you're speaking and you're touching and you're revealing. And I ask that right now, I lift up every heart, every mind, even if they watch it later. Convict our hearts, not condemn, that's of the enemy, but convict. Because convict says what we are not doing right, and then it gives us an answer what to do to make it right. Convict our hearts, convict our minds, convict our mindsets and our bad habits, and convict the things that we have just claimed as us, but they don't look like you, they don't sound like you, they don't even think like you. God, I pray that right now, convict our hearts and our minds right now. We invite you to do that. Thank you for your word, and thank you for the rest of this sermon. It's going to transform our life, and we're going to look more like you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, does anyone in here recognize that they have an unhealthy habit in their life? Be honest, be real. Raise your hand. If you didn't raise your hand, you lying. That's your first one. That's your first one. You lie. Okay. Hey, hey. It's true. Okay. Every joke, there's a little truth. According to recent studies, it takes over 2 months to have a new behavior become automatic in your life. Some studies say a month to create a new habit, but to make it automatic, it takes exactly 66 days to develop a new habit to make it automatic. And how long it takes to form a new habit from an old one? That can vary widely depending on your behavior, depending on the person, depending on your dedication, and depending on your circumstances. Here's my goal this morning, church, to help you kick off an important new godly habit in your life. Why? Because What we believe determines what we do, and what we do determines who we become. I'm a Christian, but you don't believe like Christ. So are you a Christian? I'm a Christian, but I don't act like Christ. Well, are you a believer, right? I'm not saying you got to be perfect. What I'm saying is you got to get your mind right. You got to get your life in order. And guess what? Hint. Here's a hint. You can't do it. You stink at it. I'm first in line. Well, I think today I'm just going to change myself. I listened to a great TED Talk today. I listened to that motivation speaker. You know, the guy with the really big teeth? I don't remember. Yeah, I think that guy, right? I can't remember that guy's name. You know what I'm talking about? He's all over, man, that guy. I have the power within me. You know what's in you? Sin. That destroys you. Right? The Old Testament says that your heart is the most wicked and evil thing there is. Well, just follow your heart, the world says. Yeah, right down to the pit. Right into a mess. And guess what? When you get in that mess, the world doesn't care. Next. But God cares. He's got promises that will change and shake up your life like never before. He is and has the transforming power to change your life. I am not the same man I was 16 and a half years ago. I haven't punched a single thing in anger since that day because I gave it to God and I created a new habit in my life. I only say that because I know God can do it. We're all creatures of habit. God designed us that way. Anybody have a routine and how they get ready every morning? Amen. I got a lot of routines. I like it. I don't know if it's because we were raised by a man that was in the military or if it's just because routine brings order. And order is good, so that sounds exactly like the military. He has put that in my mind. Dad, if you're listening, found out your tricks, right? I feel like I should clean my room. She puts on that white glove. He's like, you do it again. Oh, Dad. That was my childhood. Amen. Let me tell you, I know how to clean. Hallelujah. See, God designed us as creatures of habit. That's just the way we are. However, it's important to evaluate the routines that we have developed and ask whether they are making us the people God wants us to be or they are not. Is there purpose to your patterns? In the Bible, God offers a new way of living, a new way of being having new habits, a new way to think, a new way to react to things that happen. These ways will help us live healthier lives and honor God and honor other people. I love what Jesus says. So the Jews, they lived a certain way and they knew that God put these things in order. Moses brought a lot of laws and there's a lot of things that happened throughout the years and there's a lot of stuff that's put in there. And God put it there to separate them from the world, right? They had to live different, talk different, act different. He says, I'm making you holy, which is to separate or to make different, right? You're to go away and make consecrated to the Lord. Like, I am God's, and that is why I'm like this. That is why I do these things. And I'm so thankful for that. But sometimes they get so religious, or we even get so religious, we forget the reason why we did it, and then our habits become actually our poison. Okay? So I love that Jesus shakes up the ground. And he breaks down the walls. I love it. Jesus knows what's up. I love what he does. He says in Matthew 5, 38 through 44, he says, you have heard the law that says the punishment must match the injury. Eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth, right? Anybody say, I got my rights. I got my rights as a person. I got, you know what? You know, I deserve this. You know what you deserve? You deserve hell. But the hero died for the villain, and he came and he gave us heaven. He gave us a new way to live, a new way to think, and a new way to act. And we think, eye for an eye. You do that, I do this. Tooth for tooth. You knock me out, I knock you out and your family out, right? There's this eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. This fight back, because that's the way it should be. Should match the injury. But Jesus likes to shake it up. He says in 39, but I say to you, do not resist the evil person. If someone slaps you, whoopsh, right? Just like you did your neighbor earlier. And slaps you on the right cheek, offer the other one. You got one right here? Here's my left. If you're sued in court for your shirt, it's taken from you. Give him your coat too. If a soldier demands that you carry his gear for a mile, you carry it 2 miles. You've heard that the law says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. If you're honest with yourself, do you have any habits that make you stagnant in your walk with Christ? Stuck. Do you have any habits in your life that hinder you from loving people the way that Jesus loves people? I think we all do. I do. If we're truly being honest. Today's a good day, church, to be vulnerable. Today's a great day. And ask God to destroy your bad habits, your bad mindsets, and ask him to help you create new ones. I'll get it. I offered, they hung up. Hey, what's up? You should be in church. I'll see you next Sunday. We're also open on Wednesday nights. Have a great day. Oh, no, I don't need a car warranty. Okay. All right. Back to the sermon. Hallelujah. Woo! Come on, brother. We need you back. The word habit comes from the Latin word, which means to hold or to live in. If you're honest today, do you have any of these bad habits? The habit of making yourself look good at the expense of other people. The habit of giving up too early. Do you have the habit of not telling the whole truth or massaging the truth in such a way that it makes you look better to others? Do you have a habit of taking the easy way out? Do you have a habit of blaming others for your mistakes and your problems? Do you have a habit of feeling sorry for yourself? Do you have a habit of ducking your responsibilities? Do you have a habit of allowing your past to determine your future? Do you have a habit of fearing first when things get a little uneasy? This guy named James Clear, he's an author, and he wrote a book called Atomic Habits. And he explains that inside of our brains, there are two areas where habits and routines reside. It's in the basal ganglia, which is in the center of your brain, and then in your brain stem, right there. Brain stem and your basal ganglia. It's right there in the middle. This is where habits and routines reside. These locations in the brain are closely connected to emotions, memories, and pattern recognition. However, decisions and choices that are made are in a completely different area of your brain. They're in the prefrontal cortex, right here in the front. That's why sometimes you just want to smack people on the front of their head. What was that decision or choice? Oh, hey, now it's working, right? It's like people who hit computers. Yeah, that's really going to work. I think it'll work now. Okay, thank you for the spanking. See, when the same decision is made over and over and over again, there's a groove that's made in your brain, and it goes from your prefrontal cortex to your basal ganglia. What happens then is you now have a habit, a new habit. Decision, 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 66 days, and then boop, 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 bing. New habit. And you now have a new automatic response to the trigger that is in your life. Now, this same author, James Clear, he goes on and he introduces a clinical nature of our habits. He says this, that every habit has a three-step process. Number one, you have a trigger or you have a cue, right? Something happens, like something begins this habit loop. You're hungry, you're bored, you're frustrated, you're sad, you're hurt, you're angry, you're tired. Someone insults you or cuts you off in traffic. Someone shares some juicy gossip. Trigger! Cue up the response. That's number two, right? First thing's a trigger or a cue, and then next thing you have is number two, a response. The response is our decision from whatever trigger that just happened. You decide when something happens to you. We eat too much. We take part in gossip. We binge watch Netflix. We self-soothe with a substance. We get angry. We get upset. We make up excuses. What comes next when you do that enough times is you have a thing called an outcome. Now you feel guilty. You're too full. You wish you would have wore stretchy pants, right? We put someone else down to lift ourselves up. We destroy a relationship. We become addicted to something. And we become part of the problem. If you choose the same response to the same trigger enough times, it becomes a habit. And the decision-making area of your brain shuts off and your brain goes into automatic mode. That's why you crave ice cream after dinner. Some of y'all, this is going to be the loudest amen you ever done in your life, right? That's why we light up a cig when we're stressed. Mm-mm, not no more. Right, brother? Somebody laid it down. When you get stressed, you ain't going to light up that cig no more. I'm throwing that away. You're not going to find that later. 30 years. New habit, brother. Trigger. A decision is made. A response, and then an outcome. That's why you lash out in rage when someone hits a trigger from your past pain. You've developed that habit. It's why you hit the snooze button 14 times and you're always late to church no matter how many times it starts at 10:30 every Sunday. Yeah. It's just worship. Okay. You're going to hate heaven. All this worship in here. So loud all the time. Okay. It's why we chew our fingernails when we get nervous. It's why we cuss and why we yell back when we get angry. Decisions that we have made over and over again are now automatic. They're automatic habits. The key of changing your habits and your outcome is changing your response. If you want a new automatic in life, then you need a new response to your triggers. I'm going to say that again. If you want a new automatic in life, then you need a new response to the triggers. With God's help, you can break the loop and you can start fresh. Now, there's this author called Charles Duhigg, and he has a book that's called The Power of Habit, and he says this, the difference between who you are and who you want to be is what you do, end quote. So simple, but profound. The difference between who you are and who you want to be is what you do. Many of us feel like the person we are right now is not the person that we want to be. There's a sense that God wants more for us. God wants more from us. And in our lives, that we're currently experiencing and we're giving him. Something's got to change. We need a new habit. We need a new thing in our life that reflects the image of God. We have to recognize that our actions and our habits originate in our minds, in our brains. In church, a renewed mind leads to new habits. Now, the book of Romans, Paul addresses in chapter 12 the patterns of living. He addresses the conscious choices that we are making in Romans 12:2. He says, "Do not copy the behaviors and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person." How? By changing the way you think. See, it's then when you change the way you think, then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, and it is pleasing, and guess what? It's perfect. Now, if you couldn't change the patterns of your life or the way that you think, Paul would have never put in there, "Do not copy or conform to the patterns of this world." Church, where the mind goes, the life follows. So how do you change your patterns and your behavior and your responses and your habits? How do you change it all? Here's the first step. Here's the first step. If you want to hear anything, you got to hear this. Here's the first step. You got to decide in your mind if you want to be a slave to the world's poison or if you want to be a slave to God's promises. The Bible says in Romans 6, a few chapters back, 17 to 18, says, "Thank God, once you were slaves to sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey the teachings we have given you. Now you are free from your slavery of sin, and you become slaves to righteous living." No amount of preaching or pressure or nagging can have anybody or get anybody to give up a bad habit if they don't want to. It's your choice in how you want to live. I can't make you make a decision. But I want to ask you, do you want to keep living slave to sin or do you want to live free in God? No one can make your response for you. No one can decide for you. This is your choice. Some of y'all are selling yourselves short. That's a lot of S's. I grew up this way. This is the way I think. This is the way I talk. This is all I've ever known. And this is blah, 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 blah. I mean, just curse God and how he wants to change your life. Well, this is just the way it goes. But did God not make you all things new in Christ Jesus? Did he not make you a new creation? You don't just get stuck on your spirit and your soul being changed. He can change your mind if you let him. Right? Some of y'all act a fool most of your life, and now you act a little less a fool in your life because God has changed you. He's changed your mind. He's changed your decisions. He's changed the way you react to the triggers that are in your life, which then have a different outcome. Because you've made enough decisions enough times that I'm not going to act that way. I grew up this way, or I was taught this way, or this is whatever, and I'm just going to live this way. But you said, no, that's not honoring of God. I'm going to cut it off, and I'm going to do something new. When this happens in my life, I'm going to make a new decision, and a new one, and a new one, and a new one, and to the point where then it becomes automatic. Right? The next time it happens, you don't act like, or you don't think like, or you don't speak like you once did. You have a new habit that is in the Lord that honors God and doesn't honor the old ways of living. First step is you got to decide. If you want to live a life set apart for Christ, then you have to develop patterns, responses, and habits that are different from the world. In order to do this, you must renew your mind. You must renew your mind in God's truth. We have to clean, or we have to wash our brains, our minds, our thoughts in God's word. We come up with something much nicer. The Bible offers truth. Truth that can retrain and undo my bad habits. Because the Bible tells me what is true about me. My feelings and the world, they're liars. Here's what the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is inspired by God and useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong, and it teaches us what to do, what is right, right? What is right to do. It teaches us that's wrong and this is right. God uses that to prepare us and equip us as his people. Why? So we can do every good work. You cannot help the world by acting and thinking and reacting like the world.
That's right.
You got to do it different. You got to think different. You got to speak different. If you develop a steady habit of scripture in your life, it'll help you identify the poisons that are in you and the poisons that you keep telling yourself. Some of you are stuck in self-pity and poisonous mindsets that you have in your life, and you think that's all I'm ever going to be. That's all it's ever going to be. Because of all the pain that I've gone through and all the torture and all the, you know what? Those things that happened to you as a child, they were not your fault. But you keep giving them life because you keep thinking about them. But God has redeemed that. He wants to heal you. He wants to set you free. Get out of that mindset. You are recycling the pain. When God wants to wash it in his word and make it free. Inserting God's word into your mind and your heart will break those bad habits. Meditating on God's word and his truth. You do that so you can change your destructive patterns. How do you know what God is like? How do you know what his habits are like? You want to get up here and preach? Yes, I do. Okay. I'm just joking, man. It's my turn. Well, you got to know his word. You want to know me, you got to be around me. Don't pretend you know me when you don't know me. If you want to know how God does things, you got to be around him. You got to get in his word. You got to get in his presence. And you got to get around his people. You got to know his word. And when you know his word, you can think, you can live, and you can act different. You start to be an image bearer of God. The way to think different and act different is to know and practice God's word. I want to ask you, what do people see when they see your responses to life? What do people see when they see your habits in life? Do your habits reflect God's habits? Do your responses reflect God's responses? Now, if you're a Christian and you want to follow Jesus, we're called to be image bearers of Christ. And what that means is you reflect God's nature, you reflect his character, and you reflect his habits. I want you to be real with yourself. And recognize the bad habits and the wrong mindsets that you have. That's the only way to start new ones. See, when your response changes, your outcome will change. It's that easy. When your response changes, your outcome will change. And here's the thing. Even if your outcome doesn't change, you changed in your outcome. So automatically, because of your response, you already changed the outcome. We must put off our old creatures of habit and put on a new creature of habit. See, Paul says it like this in Ephesians 4, 22 and 24. Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. Put on a new nature created to be like God, truly righteous and holy, separated, set apart. Church, it's time to be vulnerable and real. It's time to look inside. You ready? Seven people. Hallelujah. Eight. Okay. Can I get a nine? Get a nine, 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 nine. Can I get a ten, ten, ten? Okay. Anyway. And all my Kelowna people like, hey! I know about that. Come on. My beard's wrong, but hey, whatever. Whatever. I'm moving on. It's time to give God your polluted mind so he can help us develop new habits. Anybody want to give God your old habits in exchange for godly ones? God's not fair. We don't deserve that. He's just. He's righteous. He's holy. He's loving. But that doesn't seem fair, that I give him terrible stuff and he gives me amazing things. That's not fair. But that's God. It's the God we serve. You want to serve Allah or whoever? That ain't. That's not the real God. It's not the God that loves you, died for you, set you apart, and changes you. Do you know why he wants to change you? It's for his glory, but it's also so other people will know that our God is real. I'm telling you right now, my high school friends, if they could see me right now, they'd be like, what happened to that dude? Right? Now, I love Jesus in high school, but this is a whole nother level. Because God, I chose to let God change me. And the way I think, the way I talk, the way I walk, the what I do, how I go about life, I let him. And then I made it a habit. Here's what we got to do practically as I get close to finishing right now. By the way, if this is the first time to a Pentecostal church, we have 3 closings. Pass the plates. This is the 2nd closing. Hallelujah. Right? Okay. Bring your own hanky. BYH, bring your own hanky. Okay. Some of y'all are laughing because you know what I meant. You got to get your mind washed in the Word. I'm not laughing anymore. Okay. We got to get practical so we can be effective. I like to get practical. I like to dumb it down for a moment, right? I like to take great things that God wants and make it practical and insert it into our lives so we can transform. So here's where we're at. We want to apply God's truth, his word, to our thought life. Here's what you got to do to break a bad habit. Here it is. Here it is. Ready? 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 Are you ready? Back row, you ready? All right, people who had an appointment, they're going to be late to it. You ready? Okay. Don't break. Here's how you break a bad habit. You must first, number one, you got to do this. You have to humble yourself. It ain't ever going to happen unless you humble yourself. You acknowledge you have a bad habit. You tell somebody about it. And then you get in God's word and you change it. It's hard to admit that you're wasteful. You're immoral. You're selfish. You're hurtful. You're impure. You lack self-control. See, it's hard to say that I'm a gossip and that I criticize too much, that I deflect responsibility, that I deflect accountability, that I'm lazy or I'm constantly negative. It's hard, but if it's true, then own it. Own it, expose it, so God can change it. That's how it works. There's people in the house today, right now. You could have been free a long time ago, but your pride gets in the way because you care what other people think more than what you care about what God thinks. Not today. Not today. Not today. You don't have to live like that anymore. It's going to be difficult. But when you admit your fault, you no longer have to participate in its guilt anymore. You expose the darkness to the light. When you confess that you are weak, when you confess that you are wrong, it is the recipe for God to show you what is right and that he is strong. Right. Humble yourself, acknowledge it, confess it, and then get into God's word and change it. We need God, and guess what, church? We need each other. We're not perfect, so quit pretending. I heard this rap song one time, and it says we all dress up on a Sunday, and all we do is cover up the chains underneath these nice clothes, right? Don't you pretend that you're perfect because you took a shower once a week and you came to church and you brushed your teeth. Hallelujah. Some of y'all didn't brush long enough. Church, you got to release the poison. You got to live free. You got to develop godly habits in your life. And when you help yourself, you're going to help other people. Here's what the Bible says in James 5:16. It says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other. Why? So that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and it produces wonderful results. When you do this recipe of what God says, you're going to get something amazing out of it. There's no better place than to start in the house of God with imperfect people wanting their habits to look more like Jesus' habits. After you acknowledge the bad habit, ask somebody to help you with it. Then find in God's word what it says about it so that way you can change it. It's time to become a new creation with new habits. Amen? Ask. Is there anyone that wants to go from poison to promise? Is there anybody in the house that wants, I want to go from this poisonous mindset to the promises of God? Anybody? And we're going to start right now before you go. You ready? The more that we read the Bible, the more the Bible reads us. Psalm 119 says this in verse 11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. The spiritual disciplines of reading God's word every day. Some of y'all make excuses why you don't read your Bible every day. You know what I had to do at first to start reading my Bible? I took my Bible and I put it on my pillow. So I consciously had to move my pillow or my Bible off my pillow and choose not to read God's word and lay down. I put conviction right there, right? You know what you did. Man, you hear this in church all the time. Read your Bible, read your Bible. Yeah, because it will change your life. Right? You know, okay, here. I want to give you something free, okay? Here's the problem that we get into. Thanks for coming up, man. We think we have to read and read and read and understand and understand and read and read and read. I got to read the Bible in a whole year. You don't need to read the Bible in the whole year if you don't understand it. The point of reading the Bible is so that way it gets into your life. It's not a chore. It's not a checklist. It's not a, oop, got it done. It's, I got to get in God's word. You know what he'd like better? He'd like you to read 3 verses, 4 verses, read it over and over and over and chew it. Like a cow, and you swallow it, you spit it back up, you swallow it. You do it so many times, you get all of the nutrients out of it, then you can move on. Okay? That's the importance of God's word. So, oh, I don't understand God's word. I don't get it. Okay, I understand. I've been there before. If you need help, call the office. I will give you some great places to start. Simple places, simple things. Oftentimes they say start in Proverbs, start in Psalms, and start in the book of John. That's a great place to start. Book of John tells you about Jesus, what he's like, how he loves you. Proverbs, right? Proverbs is the book of wisdom. Whatever day it is, just read that chapter, right? So today is what? Fifth. Read the fifth chapter of Proverbs. There's so much wisdom of God's wisdom in there. You're like, well, that's good. Then read Psalms. Well, they're all amazing. So read one of them. I don't know. And some of you don't like worship. You're going to hate Psalms because it tells you how to worship. Hallelujah. And it's going to train your brain to say, I do like worship. I can't dance worth a lick. I can't wait for my new body so I can get down with Jesus. But I'm going to give him my worship because I see how important it is now. Got to read your word, church. Here's what we're going to do. Reading the Bible is a life-changing habit that changes all your other habits. Before we go, I gave you a paper, okay? This paper, okay? Pull it out. Everybody should have got one. If you didn't get one, you probably came really late. So pretend you got one. Just joking. We can get you one if you need one. or there should be some on that table out there. This is a very important paper. Now, you think this paper kind of looks weird. Yeah, this was part of my studying when I got my master's. These are my personal notes, and you wonder why I circled some of these and not others. I literally just took this out of my notes and printed a whole bunch of these. These are things I had to study for a quiz, so there's nothing special about them because these are all amazing, but it's something I had to give you today. There's no way I could have erased those things, so I wanted to give this to you today because we're going to do something before we go, okay, with this awesome paper. Here's what I want you to do. I need you to choose to be vulnerable and real. If you don't choose to do that, then guess what? Let me assure you something. You're not going to change today. That's fine. I don't have to live your life. You have to live your life. But if you want to be vulnerable, you want to be real, then today's a day you can change. And here's one thing you can think about. Here's an opportunity not only for you to help get changed, but you can help other people be changed. This is what I want you to do. You got to listen to these instructions or you're going to look confused in a moment. I want you to go and ask your neighbor or somebody by you, and I want you to do something. I want you to go to them, and I want you to tell them a bad habit that you have. You can go as deep as you want, right? If you are like, hey, I get mad sometimes. It's like, okay, cool. So why do you get mad? Well, sometimes I get upset about things. Well, why do you get upset at things? Well, there's some things in my childhood. Well, what do you mean about your childhood? Well, and then you get to the point where you were maybe, something happened to you that was so terrible and that you have now, because of that situation that took place, has caused you to now be mad all the time or hurt because you haven't given that to God. And because you haven't given that to God, you now have developed this bad habit. Get as deep as you want. But I want you to confess a bad habit. Because after you do that, you're going to look at the paper. So-and-so comes and talks and tells me about the pain that they have and the thoughts that they're having. And I look at this paper and I'm going to find a Bible verse that applies to that. You're a new creation. You're forgiven of all those sins and you're washed by the blood of Jesus. You're alive in Christ. You're crucified in Christ. You're reconciled back to God. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You're righteous to God. You're the head and not the tail. You're above. Whatever you got to do, you got to get in this word. And what you're going to do is you're going to find this. You're going to go over here. You're going to get in your word and you're going to read it to them right into their eyes. Bless you. You're going to read it right to them. And then you're going to pray over them. And then this week, I want you to connect one or two more times and do the same exact thing, because you have to develop that habit. We got to break that habit. And it says if we pray for one another and we confess our sins with one another, that's how we're going to get healed. And the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. So when you go and you tell someone, I have a bad habit, and you get into the scripture and then you read it to them and then you pray over their life, then you reverse and then they tell you their bad habit and you do the exact same thing and you got to go back and forth. This is a time right now in church where you are going to break some bad habits and break some bad mindsets in the house. There's nobody perfect in here. Amen? Raise your hand if you're perfect. Because you're not going to get partnered up. Because you're a liar. Okay. Church, humble yourself. Acknowledge it. Confess it. And get into God's word and you can change it. Amen? Let me pray for you before we do this. Lord God, I thank you that your word is power. Powerful. That your word is all we need. Break the habits in our lives. Develop new ones. God, we're going to get in your word and we're going to speak to those things that are destructive and hurting and broken, and those things that we have these bad habits, and we're going to speak God's word into it to develop new ones. Lord, we thank you. And I thank you right now that these cigarettes are done in the name of Jesus. They are broken in the name of Jesus. Give them a new habit, because you know what? The next time that trigger of whatever made him smoke for 30 years, that next trigger that's going to happen, God, he's going to have a new response to it. And he's going to do it over and over again. He's going to have a new habit developed in his life. Get somebody strong in his life to help him. Lord, we love you and we trust you. We thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you could put the lights up a little bit so we can read. Right now, he's going to play just some background music. I want you to find somebody before you go today. Find somebody and do what I just said. Give them a habit. Look into God's word. Read that word to them and pray over them.